Kathy asked if after I apparently gave permission to run singing over a little bit, did I get permission to run over with the preaching? And I said, no, I did not. But it doesn't take me long. My dad never was a long-winded preacher, and he used Lord Jesus Christ as an example. Said you can read the Sermon on the Mount. A slow reader can read it in less than 20 minutes, and that's pretty good one to minister to go by. Please continue to pray. Last Sunday, I tried to preach out of Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9, and for by grace are you saved through faith. And it actually started, I want to go to Galatians today. I started studying, thinking about that book when I ended up where I did, and that happens a lot. But that's fine. I pray the Lord has guided me in that. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 16th verse, I believe it is. It lists several things that the Word of God is profitable, for which the Word of God is profitable. One of them is, a couple of them are reproof and correction. That was the Apostle Paul there. And so in Galatians, certainly, that letter, that epistle to the churches in Galatia proves that he did what he said that he told his younger brother Timothy, his son in the ministry. But in Galatians, this epistle is one of the earlier letters that Paul wrote. He took three different trips to Galatia, throughout Galatia, southern, northern Galatia, and established churches there. This epistle was written sometime around, we believe, sometime around 49 A.D. Again, one of the earliest letters of the Apostle Paul. It was after he had established churches there in that country. But he had heard some things happening in among the churches there, and so he wrote this letter, a very strong letter, but knowing what we know about the Apostle Paul, certainly written in love, and yet he laid it out. I won't start in the third chapter. I'm going to start a couple of verses in the first chapter, but third chapter begins, O foolish Galatians. So he's pretty strong there. Now we're taught not to call anyone a fool. Only those that don't believe in God are a fool. And he didn't call them fools. He called them foolish, unwise. They were choosing bondage over grace. That's what they were doing here. Under the influence of those who had come among them. But in this first chapter, it mentions in the second verse, under the churches of Galatia. It was not just to one church. It wasn't to a certain nation or people. It was under the churches of Galatia. And the sixth verse in the first chapter of Galatians says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You might ought to just listen to it might be better. So he marveled that they were so soon removed. He had just established these churches in Galatia. And so he penned this letter because he cared about them. He cared for them, that they had wavered from the true gospel, which is, it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The sentence continues here in the seventh verse, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What they call Judaizers were among them and were perverting the gospel of Christ here, and that they troubled them. And it would. If I thought that I needed to do, if I was under grace, then all of a sudden now I am being told I'm now under bondage to something that I needed to do to save myself, that's not pleasant. That's troubling. And so that's what it had taken place here. And as a shepherd, as a minister, as an apostle, Paul cared for them. The churches that I've tried to serve as pastor, or if I just simply had appointments, I felt more than just going the calling to just go and preach to them. I felt a longing and an unction to be protective of them, to be defensive of them. And it seemed like that comes on quickly, and I take that as God blessing that feeling within me. And I believe because there's more to pastoring a church or ministering to a church than simply feeding them with the Word of God. Feeding them and nurturing them as a pastor, as a shepherd. And there's a love there. There's a love there. And Paul had that for these. Now, in Acts, the 15th chapter, let me read what exactly was going on here among the churches in Galatia. First verse of that 15th chapter says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." So they're telling them this now. This goes against, this is another gospel, which there is another, is not another gospel, he said, there in Galatians. And the fifth verse says, "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." So it's very important that it says a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed. These were Christians. They believed in Christ. Yet they're saying, and they couldn't. Again, I've worded this before that I don't know how in the world. Well, I know how, as God had to bless them, the Jews, the Hebrew people, to be reconciled to the fact that the law had been fulfilled. It was done. It served its purpose. And then God blessed Paul to preach to them this and to teach them, give them the knowledge through the Spirit. As we'll see, the preaching takes the Almighty Spirit of God. God blessed Paul to do that. I don't know. And because Paul was, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he had that knowledge. And yet all of the secular knowledge that he had of the law, he still didn't follow it. As I mentioned last Sunday, Jesus Christ is the only one that we could have ever seen that followed and the law to a jot and to a tittle. He followed it. Perfect. Impeccable. Paul called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, yes, but he preached to the Jews and taught them this. And yet some that I feel certain still believed in Jesus Christ and what he did, but had a hard time with that. I can't imagine that, trying to switch from centuries of that law service to this the law of life and grace in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing, but as we sometimes have spoken to people and say, well, that's wonderful, and it's even logical, it makes sense, but it's too good to be true, and they can't reconcile that. Going back to Galatians, the fourth chapter, as we get into this, the problems that they were having here, specifically. Galatians chapter 4, the 8th verse. "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, So there's been a change here. After you've known God, or rather, are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? There's a bondage there. I believe God has blessed me in my mind, for my mind to be reconciled with my heart, that Jesus Christ did what He did. And there's a great blessing in that. That's justification by faith. That within me, in the courtroom of my own heart, soul, and spirit, I know that He did that and that I am one of His. So now I need to live accordingly. I need to follow His commandments as He sets forth here. And He goes on. So the two things, they were saying that they needed to be circumcised, part of the law. But then also to observe the holy days of the Jewish holy days. In the 10th verse of this 4th chapter of Galatians, it mentions that you observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul cared for them. He was afraid of them, for them, in this. And so they were observing parts of the law. If you're going to be a debtor to part of the law, then you got to follow all of it. So not just part of it. And they were observing these holy days. We see here in the 13th verse, more proof. We can go to all throughout Acts and see Paul's journeys through Galatia. But it says ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. He had preached unto them. He scripturally set up churches throughout Galatia and preached to them here. And that through the infirmity of the flesh, there is part of the miracle of preaching. I see in striving to do it. Sometimes I say, and I even worded already today, last Sunday I tried to preach in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I have a hope that I did preach that I'm not just using the last decade of my life trying to do that. If so, I need to quit trying and just sit down and stop, because I'm not called to preach. But it's hard, because I know the infirmities of my flesh. I know what I have to try to rise above through God's grace and through His Spirit. And that I am of like passion as you. In addition to that, called to preach the gospel, sweet, precious gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me get to my text, or my point mainly is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, verse 5. It's kind of a rewording of verse 2. But that third chapter, again, the Apostle Paul begins speaking to them, writing to them, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you to cast a spell over them? It would have to be some kind of a spell for them to convince them that now they have to be circumcised and follow observe the holy days under Jewish law. They were beyond that. When Paul left them, they were beyond that. Who hath bewitched you? Now that's probably one of those rhetorical questions where he knew who had done it, but that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. They did not witness, they did not see with their own eyes the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the crucifixion was set before them through preaching. And if preaching does not give us a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us, then the preaching has failed. In that, I know there are certain subjects that don't just go draw you to the crucifixion, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but certainly it should be a leading to that. And so they did not see, but it hath been evidently set forth. He had been evidently set forth to them, among them, crucified. They knew, just as we do. We know more. Maybe there were some that had been down in that area when Jesus Christ was crucified. I think about those things and where are people, who was there, what did they see, what were they thinking? Predominantly, they had not seen it with their eyes. Well, we're in the same situation. We're farther along, centuries past that, where we certainly did not. There's no way that we saw it. Yet we believe it through an eye of faith that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we're given that feeling within ourselves and we're given the evidence in faith. Now, moving on, it says in the second verse, "This only would I learn of you." He's just saying, I've got one question. I've just got one thing. Sometimes preachers will just overload with all kinds of thoughts and a huge subject and so forth. I know you don't have to worry about that with me. I don't have a mind enough to have a huge subject and a lot of thoughts. So I'm with the Apostle Paul here. "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now, this does not, this faith here, this faith certainly is referring to the same faith that I referenced, the implanted faith in Ephesians 2 and 8, that faith implanted. But that's not what this is talking about. If we answer this question, "Receive ye the Spirit of God by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith," in regeneration, we received it neither way. Neither way did we receive the Spirit in regeneration. But we receive that, the ministry of the Spirit. And certainly as we bear down so hard the fact that preaching of the gospel takes the Spirit of Almighty God. We all know that. I've experienced God. I know that He never leaves me nor forsakes me, but He'll withdraw. I believe He'll step back. I believe He does that with us. Sometimes when we're going through hard things, that it reminds us of the blessings of God in our lives and His mercy and His grace. But down in that fifth verse, as he rewords this slightly, he says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit." There's a ministering there of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. But we'll see in a moment as we see Lydia, how she was already born again. She was already worshiping. Then she believed. Then she heard the gospel there. That's the order. And so he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He does it by the hearing of faith here. He does not do it. And we need to remember here, just like the emphasis in Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The emphasis is that we're saved by the grace of God, unmerited favor. That's the point. Then remember, there's no punctuation there. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. That's the point. Here, he's trying to impress upon them, the churches in Galatia, that the works of the law, they get you nothing now. And yet he had to walk a fine line because the law itself, he didn't negate it. He didn't nullify it. He didn't speak down to it. And he had to be careful with that because God gave it to them. God gave it to him. And yet these things that he wrote to the churches there to bring them back, and it speaks of falling from grace. I believe that's here in this book. In the fifth chapter, the fourth verse, the third verse says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." Don't stop at just circumcision or observing holy days. You have to do it all. "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." And I thought, I thought I couldn't fall from grace. Once saved, always saved. That's not what it's talking about eternally, right here in time. It is as if Christ has become of no effect to them. You've fallen from grace. You've gone back under bondage here. And we see as the Apostle Paul traveled again twice into those churches then, his letter was accepted. And I would love to, as I go through, and I love looking at old church record books and so forth and looking in there and seeing things and reading what happened and the progression of the church perpetuity of the church. And so I'd love to go back and look at the records of the churches in Galatia and say, well, let's see what happened after they got this letter and filed that letter in their church records, a permanent, you know, we do that. We do the same things that they were doing then. And then also, as Apostle Paul went back and preached to them, what was the subjects of his sermons? What did he preach to them? But we don't need to know that. That's just me wanting to know these things. So he's telling them here, that they're foolish, they're unwise. He's not calling them fools. He's saying you're unwise in doing this, in following after another doctrine, a false doctrine here. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by the hearing of faith. And in studying this and researching this and looking, I see that other older seasoned ministers sound ministers even today have said, I used to look at this as regeneration, part of regeneration, and then after studying it and counseling with other ministers and all, and then also going to Scripture, which I hope to, they realized that this is the ministry of the Spirit. Certainly the ministry itself is to do that through hearing. Now in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the sixth verse says, and speaking of Christ here, the who in the sixth verse, Christ also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So he's making a point here that that God has made them able ministers of the New Testament and not of the letter. It's hard sometimes I guess with my personality and even with my profession and all, we have an overabundance in this church of computer programmers and database people and all, and it's kind of scary. But the logic involved in that and all, and so it's hard sometimes not to go by the letter. Well, the letter of the word says this, but you have to give it a huge portion of love and care. And weigh the situation in handling matters of the church and all. It affects so much. We can't handle church business like a secular business, because it's the church, it's the bride of Christ, and they are saints of God saved by the blood of Christ. We're to treat them as such. Many times I've failed. I pray for the mercy of God. But the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, in Acts 16, let me get to Sister Lydia here. Acts chapter 16, 14th verse. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. So she worshipped God. I have to assume this is the word of God. This is sincere. We know she worshipped. She sincerely worshipped Him. She already had faith implanted in her, within her. She had the evidence. If she worshipped God, why would she worship God if she didn't even believe in Him? And so I don't think we have to rehash that anymore. But she, which worshipped God, heard us. heard the preachers, the apostles. So she heard it, whose heart the Lord opened. There's proof among many that just sitting and hearing the words that the preacher say is not all it takes. The Lord has to open your heart to hear that. And certainly when ministers who have come and preached whatever negative, quote unquote, negative subject there is, if it's depravity or some kind of sinfulness or whatever it may be, what the ministry or the deacon should be doing that they're not and so forth, unless the Lord opens the congregation's heart to that, it's going to just fall. It's gonna, like a lead weight. And if the preacher has any hidden agenda, I pray that never happens with me, that I don't have an agenda that, well, I'm going to preach on this today because so-and-so certainly needs this. I need it more than anybody. I need it. And yet, if God puts it on my heart, then I hope that He'll bless me to preach that subject, whatever it is. So the Lord God opened her heart. Here, whose heart the Lord opened. And two, with that little phrase, shows me the importance of gathering together as the church. That I want to go. I want to have the Lord open my heart again, still, continuously. That's what we long for. As we come praying, preparing, we may not observe holy days of Jewish holy days and prepare for things and all, but there is a preparation to come to church, and it's prayer. Prayer, not just for, I hope that you're praying for me trying to preach to you and to serve you as pastor, but also for the congregation and for singing, preaching, praying, and fellowship, the whole thing. And that Lord will bless it. There is a preparation. I've failed at that. I'll confess to you. I have failed at that in the past. And also that the Lord would open our heart. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So this is that hearing of faith. Remember, I started out, she already had faith. In regeneration at some point. I don't need to know when she was born again, but she was because she worshiped God. Let's follow this on through, just like a program, if you will, that one of us, Brother Paul or Jeff or I, maybe developed. You just follow it through and you can calculate these things. But she worshiped God. She's born again, had faith. The Lord opened her heart. That's proof that phrase there, opened her heart, does not mean that He quickened her at that point. She's already quickened at that point. And yet the Lord opened her heart right then. And so that then those things which were spoken of Paul by Paul, that she attended unto those things. That's it there. Now, I'm thankful to know that and to realize that there. Now let me go back over to Galatians again and try to wrap this up. So he told them in the fifth chapter, I skip past this, but the Apostle Paul writes them and says, stand fast, therefore, knowing all those things, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Would, if they did not follow his counsel there, his writing, I know this is the Word of God, but he wrote this epistle, Apostle Paul did, by the Word of God. But did they not, and there probably were some. No, I still think I need to be circumcised. I need to observe the holy days, and so, and they didn't. Are their soul and spirit, if they were a child of God, serving Christ, worshiping Him just as Lydia was, they are in heaven right now. Their soul and spirit is there right now. They may have been misled then, and we may. At some point, but they are still. But here and now, stand fast in the liberty. And as that song that Brother Seth led, stand fast and fight valiantly. Stand fast with sword. Take courage and stand fast with sword in hand. There's a battle here, and most of my battles are just between myself within me to battle things in life, and not outward battles, because the Lord is merciful and gracious. So behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He has profited them something in saving them, atoning for their sins, reconciling them, redeeming them. That's not what he's talking about. He'll mean nothing to you here and now, because you're taking glory away from him. You're nailing him back to the cross. It's like he didn't finish his work. In fact, you're calling him a liar, because when he said it is finished, he meant that. He shouted with a loud voice, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. And so he even told us that he was finished. Now, in the sixth chapter here of Galatians, the 15th verse, Paul wraps it up, begins to wrap it up here. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. He's still talking to these here and cares for this peace that he's trying to portray unto them. He portrays unto them the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, him crucified, but the fact that they are risen in Christ as well. And this should be good news to them. That they have nothing to do here. I know that we don't have to worry about going back into Jewish law, the literal law, the service, the days, the observances, the customs, and so forth. So we don't have to worry about that. But I can very well slip into feeling the need to establish my own righteousness again. And now I have forsaken God. I'm certainly I'm not better than the Apostle Peter anyway, denying Christ, or all those that fled when Jesus was arrested. No better than them, but God is gracious, and Jesus Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he'll bless us in all things. We don't always understand. We do sometimes understand. I've looked back and seen maybe why I went through something. Mm-hmm. And it's been many years after. But up until that point, I didn't know. I didn't know why. And even as we pray to God and tell him something that he knows, it's like, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why this has happened. But we may not until we're there. I believe when my soul and spirit, and then my body, certainly when it's rejoined with soul and spirit, when I'm there, I'll understand, but yet that won't be my primary focus. Will be upon the one that redeemed me, bought me back from the law of sin and death. And then I'll be there. I will be satisfied there. But for now, we stand fast in the liberty. And we know that we're doing it when the Lord blesses us. We know we're doing it when... And sometimes that's the only way I know that I've done something right. Well, you make a decision. You say something to someone. And then later on, you see an effect of this. Okay, I feel comfortable. The Lord showed me that was the right thing to do or to say. Well, personally, that happens. As a church, it happens. I believe we can look and see as the Lord bestows that great spirit that we're talking about, the spirit of faith upon a church, that he'll show us. Then we need to stand fast in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. What a wonderful blessing. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If anyone has a desire to join you, let us know. And then we'll shake one another's hands if you so desire. Go ahead.